Yeah, good morning. That's what I like to hear is a response. My privilege to be with you here this morning. Thank you for the invitation and for giving me this opportunity. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing on our time here. Father in heaven, we give thanks to you. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord. And we praise your name, and we just pray as we'd open up your word that we would glorify your name as we would tell of the wonderful things that are happening in and through your name. Bless us, we ask in our Savior's name. Amen. I'm from Vancouver, as you've maybe heard there. I was raised and born in Vancouver, and I'll like to start by just sharing a bit about my testimony when I come to somewhere new, just so you have an idea who I am. And I was raised in a Christian home. My parents were very active. I went to the Carlton Gospel Hall in Vancouver. And being in the city there are lots of a gospel series that go on. And I think I hold a world record for going to gospel meetings. And I certainly look back on that with much thankfulness. But as I went along in life there, I really struggled with how to believe. You see, I always believed. And I got to the point where I hated John 3:16 because I couldn't figure that out. I believe, but I'm not saved. And I was so caught up with how to believe. And I would be just going around in circles in my mind. And I was very confused. I was confusing myself. And I thought that, and I used to hear, And I do agree with this, but I used to hear that you had to have a time, when, a place, where, and a manner, how. And I actually thought that was a Bible verse. I had heard it so many times from the platform. And of course, I understand why. To people who maybe were raised in a church their whole life, they never realized that actually there is a time when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So I thought you could not get saved without a watch, because you had to know what time it was. Because every testimony I heard, somebody would tell me this. And so I would have to say I had my eyes totally on the wrong thing. I had my eyes on myself. And I started working as apprenticing as a machinist for a believer. And he was very good to me. And some things he said to me that I actually don't recommend saying to other people, but I can tell you it helped me. And what it did is it got my eyes off myself. You see, I thought my salvation was because of my faith. Don't want to confuse anybody here, but let me explain it this way. My salvation depends 100% upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I receive it by faith. I thought it was how I believed, because of my faith, but it's not. I just accept it by faith. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross that saves me. It's not my faith that saved me. I accept it through faith, but it's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me that saves me. And I was 19 years old, very concerned about dying and very concerned about my life. And as I tell people, you know, many times I'd wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going to do that again. And what did I do? I did it again. And then I would tell myself, I'm never, never going to do this again. And what did I do? I did it again. I could not trust myself. And I was reading one night, very concerned. I was reading the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 25, I got to. And it says this, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And I asked myself two questions. Can I trust God? I knew I couldn't trust myself. And I stopped and I thought about it. I wanted a real answer. Yes, I can trust God. I said, where does God say my sins are? God says that all my sins were placed on Jesus. And I thought, if they're on him, they're not on me. And I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. And of course, that's the only thing I'm trusting in to get to heaven. It's not about me. It's 100% about the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was when I was 19 years old, nearly 20 years old. A wonderful day when I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would have to say that I was always interested in evangelism, in sharing the gospel. My father was a street corner preacher, a Sunday school worker, and he also did ship visitation. And so he was always sharing the gospel from when he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. But I would have to say, I did it within the four walls. I was ashamed to bring up the gospel to other people, to be honest with you. I could preach from the platform, but I was afraid to bring up the gospel to people around me. And it was years and years and years later we at Newton, there was a couple of us, were going to run the Christianity Explored program. It's a wonderful program, a 10-week program. Some have heard of the Alpha program. I've never seen that one, but this is different. But it kind of runs the same way, Christianity Explored. And so it was mainly me and this other fella. And he's a very bold witness, unlike myself. And he says to me one day, just before we start, "How many people do you have committed to coming?" I said, "None yet." He says, "How many have you asked?" "None yet." And because I knew he was a faithful brother, I knew he was going to ask me again. So I pushed myself, and I started asking people. And I was surprised. I had 8 people come to this program to listen to the gospel, a 10-week program, wonderfully well laid out. And I would say for myself, that was a significant step in my life. And it was a rewarding step when you see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ working in people's lives. And it is so rewarding. I'm going to share a little bit about Lighthouse, and I've never seen anybody that did not like a missionary report. I love missionary reports. But I would say, don't live vicariously through somebody else. Do it yourself. It's so rewarding when you share the gospel and you know that you are bringing cold water to a thirsty soul. Recently, I heard a testimony. Your clock's going to go really fast on me here. Recently, I heard a testimony of a fella in South Africa, not raised in a Christian home. He goes down to the beach one day to commit suicide and going to end his life. He didn't know the gospel. And a lady on the beach handed him a tract and shared the gospel with him. He'd never heard it before. He says, "That day I was saved physically, mentally, and spiritually, just because somebody went out of their comfort zone to share the gospel with somebody." You know, we have people all around us that need the word of God. They are one day they're going to take that last breath, and they will stand before the Lord. We need to share the good news with them. Many have no idea. I don't go out on the streets often, but I was out there, probably 2 years ago now. I was out at a bus loop in Surrey. A lot of international students there. And I got talking to one fellow from India. And I said, "Are you 100% sure what's going to happen after you take your last breath?" He says, "I'm not even 1% sure." I said, "Where would you look if you wanted to know?" "I don't know." I said, "Could I tell you where I would look?" "Yeah, please." And I opened up the Bible and I started showing him. And by that time of the night, we had given out all the Bibles we had brought. He takes out his phone and he starts taking picture after picture of the verses that I'm showing him. You know, men and women, we have neighbors, we have friends, people that the Lord has brought into our neighborhood to cross our path. For what purpose? To bring the word of God to them. That's what's important. God uses all different means. He uses work. He uses broken down cars. He uses all sickness. He uses all these different ways. For what purpose? That we might bring the word of God to them. That we might share the wonderful news. 2 years ago it was now, a ship came in. The ship was from the Iraqi line. None of us have ever seen a ship from Iraq before. Didn't even know there was such a thing as an Iraqi shipping line. Interesting ship, very bad shape. The ship's office was locked, always locked. Very unusual. The chief officer, who was actually from Egypt, anytime someone would ask for something out of the ship's office, he would quiz them before he reluctantly handed the key to them, to the office, not trusting. But whenever I went on board, I was welcomed. I was brought to one little office where they control all the ballast in the ship and that. There was one chair in that office. That was my chair. I always got the chair. They stood, they sat on the desk, they leaned against the wall, but I always got the chair. And I was on board that ship 4 or 5 times. And every time I came, I would bring something with them. They loved gifts. Generosity opens doors. And I would bring them shampoo that somebody has bottled for us, and we have a text on the bottle of shampoo. And the last thing I brought for them, that morning I had picked up gospel calendars. And so I brought them 21 gospel calendars. And they were so glad to receive anything that I gave them. Why did that ship come to Vancouver? It had a big load of cargo. If you ask the ship owner, if you ask the captain, it was to deliver cargo. I tell you, that was not the purpose. That's the means God used. They came to hear the word of God. I gave them many Bibles in Arabic and in other languages that they could hear the word of God. Let's be very clear, people. The priorities in this life is the word of God. And we need to use every opportunity. And I don't. I'm the first one to admit I don't. But I'm thrilled when I hear people that are out sharing the word of God. It's exciting. Just quickly, since I don't think I've met anyone here before, but just a quick picture here. I guess you have to turn it on first. This is my family here. This was at a wedding this summer. So my wife and me, my wife Ruth, we have 3 daughters, Ashley and her husband Andy, Trisha and her husband Jalen, and their baby Blake, my granddaughter. And in the middle we have Rachel and Evan, just newlyweds there. Steve, we're not moving here. There we go. Sorry, it jumped. Maybe I got it turned up a little higher there. Just a few quick stories here. I was on a ship there, and they'd just done some crew change. And there was a brand new captain on board, Captain Frank. He was from Slovenia. A very nice man, very well spoken. Wanted me to sit down and talk to him, but kept being interrupted, but would always come back to me very respectfully. And he'd say, you know, business first. And so I was having a good conversation with him and trying to bring it around to the gospel. And finally it came out that he believed in evolution. And so we were just discussing that. I have a few little things I would throw out at him. And he said, you know, we're a communist country. He said, when the Reds left, the church moved in. He says, there's no difference. And this is what I hear often from Eastern Europeans. They have a respect, but a distaste for the church, for the power and the control that they have put on them. And I asked them, do you think God wants your money? No. They would believe in God, that God is pure, that God is not just trying to take their money. I say, can we just set the church aside for a little bit and read what God actually has to say? Would you take this Gospel of John and actually read it? Yeah, they think that's a good idea. So I was talking to this captain there from Slovenia, and right across from him, the other side of his desk, is this Chinese chief engineer. Now, I knew he was from Asia, but I wasn't sure where. And afterwards, talking to the captain, I greeted the chief engineer. And a lot of the Chinese that I would speak to, well, they have much better English than I have Chinese, but we still have a bit of a communication issue. But this fella didn't. And he tells me right away, he says, I'm a Christian. And I do have many that will tell me they're Christians, but they don't know really about the gospel. They haven't understood that part. They've believed in Jesus, I'll say about Jesus. Well, this fellow was different. I won't even try to pronounce his name because I never did get that right. But he signed off the next day. And he told me, he says, I want to come to your church. I want to come to your church. I think, oh, great. Where are you going to be? The timing? And, you know, this is not going to be that easy. Because I didn't even know what time he'd actually get off the ship. Well, he'd messaged me at 9:30. Okay, I'm off the ship. Can you pick me up now? I ignored the text because I was just going into our assembly. And he was downtown Vancouver and I'm out in Surrey. This is not going to work out. No, can I come to your church? What I finally realized, he thought our meeting went all day long. He didn't know that we're limited to 1 hour and then we got to get going because people get restless. No. He thought it was like his church. He's from Shenzhen, just outside of Hong Kong. They meet at 8:30 in the morning, and they typically go till midnight. I said, where is your church? He says, oh, it's very convenient. It's only 1 hour by train. How many of you would you call 1 hour convenient? He did. He says, we love to share the word of God together. We love to fellowship together. I would love to visit with them then. I've been to Shenzhen a couple of times. I'd love to visit with them. It would be such a privilege. Yeah, there's a lot of dangers at sea. Some of these men, I tell you, they're literally being pushed by their families out to do this job because there's dangers all around. There's pirates. That's a big issue. There's ships breaking up. Not too common. But I tell you, there's times there, they've told me many times, we didn't think we were going to make it. The oceans are violent. The Pacific Ocean's in the winter. And they're going up near the Aleutians as they come around. They're violent. And they're being tossed back and forth. They've told me for 2 weeks, we've been rolling in heavy, heavy storms. I said, how do you do your job? You know, you always got to be holding on. Because everything's up, everything's down. Now, how do you stay in your bed? Many of them take their mattresses and put them on the floor. I said, how come you don't have hammocks anymore? I mean, I thought that was a great idea, being a hammock, at least it would kind of swing a little bit with it. Or why don't you have like a seat belt or a bed belt to tie you in? Or a V or something there. Because they've all talked about being thrown out of their beds onto the floor as some big wave will hit them. And it's not always consistent or getting worse and worse. Sometimes it's just an accumulation of their position and then a wave hits them and really throws them to the side. I also just, backing up here, I just want to point out that at Ogden Point, they work with the cruise ships, which would be significant, a huge crew on board, over 1,000 typically, but also men and women. We only work with the freighters. And so on the freighters, you would have 19 to 24 crew on board, and 99.99% would be men. So that's the ones that we work with. We used to work with the cruise ships in Vancouver, but the port we were at closed down for cruise ships, and we've never picked it up because we don't have enough people to do the freighters that we are doing there. Sorry. We're jumping here. I walked up to a ship the other day. I'm not trying to take pictures to show you myself there, but I walked up to a ship that was offloading cars, and there's this huge ramp they drive the cars off. And at that point, they weren't doing any cargo operations. So it was very quiet there. And as I walked up to the ship there, I said to the fellow there, I said, I'm from the Siemens mission. He says, I know, you're Ray Hanna. When did I meet you? Well, it was about 3 years ago, and he remembered my name. And one way, they don't have to remember my name, but one way I helped them to remember this is one day I went up a long gangway, and these masks don't help me when I'm going up the gangway. I need all the oxygen I can get when I'm going up there. And I get to the top of the gangway, and I'm out of breath. And he says, your name, please. I said, Rihanna. And he says, Rihanna? Well, I didn't even know my name sounded like Rihanna, but now that he said it, it does say that. So I tell the man, I said, my name sounds like Rihanna, but don't call me Rihanna, it's Ray Hanna. Maybe that's how sometimes they remember. This fella here is from India. He's a cadet, very well spoken, very well educated, fine, fine young man, 19 years old. He's halfway through his contract. His father is a captain, and a very interesting conversation. I said to him, I said, have you ever read the Bible? He's from Gujarat. And I know that many from Goa in India are Catholic, but not that many from Gujarat. I said, have you ever read the Bible? He says, oh, yeah, I've read the Bible. Yeah, no, I like the Bible. I believe the Bible. Wow. He says, but I'm Hindu, but I believe the Bible. And I started sharing Bible verses with him. Oh, that's good. And he marks it down. He says, I believe that. And he kept trying to mix it in with his Hindu faith. And I would go back and I was quoting John 14:6 to him. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Oh, that's good. That's good. I wonder if he's truly a believer. I'm praying that he comes back again. Although I can't remember his name. I know his ship's name. And I'll be looking for that ship when it comes back again. But he very untaught, but very willing to acknowledge that the Bible is the Word of God. Very interesting conversation with this young man. These two fellas here, I helped them get their vaccine on Thursday. This is the first for us. It's been talked about for months here. The Canadian government is willing to vaccinate the sailors for free, which is very good of them. But there's a lot of hoops and things to go through here. These fellows are both signing off. One is Mayat, and he's going back to Myanmar. And if you know Myanmar, it's in a terrible condition right now with a coup that's going on there. And the other fellow is Ivan, and he is going back to the Ukraine. But I helped them get their shot of their first shot of Pfizer, and this is what they wanted, and they were glad to have that and to be able to go back home with it. In Myanmar, well, you're not going to get any help from the government. But a lot of these countries, you can get anything on the black market. But again, you don't know what you're getting. So he was very happy to get his shot here. But what that did is it gave me, sorry, this is a little jumpy. It gave me an opportunity to share the gospel with him when I was about half an hour each direction to the vaccination clinic. And so I had the opportunity to tell them my testimony and share the word of God with them, especially the fellow from Myanmar who would be probably be Buddhist. And it's wonderful to share the gospel with them there. And they both took the gospels, and I pray that they do read them. This fellow is a captain. He holds Bible studies on board. He's a believer, of course. He holds Bible studies on board. And he was showing me his Bibles that he has, but he makes the men keep them there because he doesn't have enough for everybody. So he had asked that we bring them Bibles. Well, the greatest thing we can do is to help the believers on board be a testimony. I go on for an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours max. These men are on board for 9 months. So anything that that we can do to assist them is what we want to try to do. And so we give them the tools to do this here. Again, a couple of Ukrainians, at first they weren't too thrilled to see me. Eastern Europeans can be very hard, can be very nice. I was not allowed in the ship. But again, generosity opens doors. I gave them a few Canada flag souvenirs. They love that. I had bought some chocolate bars for somebody that wanted them, and then I didn't end up getting them to them in time. So I thought, well, I don't need them, that's for sure. So I went to my car, got the box of chocolates, and brought them to them. Well, they thought I was the greatest guy around. They're not allowed ashore. Most of them are not allowed ashore right now. But anyways, that gave me an opportunity to give them the Gospels of John. We give mainly out in Russian because they all can read Russian, even if they're Ukrainian. They can all read Russian. So some of the other fellows are more diligent and carry all the different languages. I kind of stick to the main ones that will help them there. This is in our center. My wife and me there in the middle there. Not many men are coming to our two seafarer centers. So we have the one in North Vancouver and one on the Fraser River. Not many people are coming at this time. Transport Canada allows them, but their companies do not. They have worldwide commands, no shore leave. And I tell them, you know, if I was in Indonesia, I wouldn't be getting off either because COVID is terrible there. But I said, here, our numbers are very low. Even though we know ours have jumped low recently, they're still really, really low compared to other parts of the world. And I said, I've been vaccinated. Some of them have been vaccinated. I said, what's stopping you from coming ashore? And so we're trying to get them to come to the Siemens missions. Our Siemens missions have been such a blessing. We are now, as of next month, we're celebrating 40 years of Lighthouse. And the centers have been open for over 35 years in North Vancouver and about 20 years in at Fraser Surrey Dock. Every night we have had 10 to 20 sailors. Every night of the year, 10 to 20 sailors come in. Every night they've heard the word of God. The numbers that have come through, it's just been such a blessing. And I'm praying that they start again. Every time I go into our beautiful centers that we have so nicely decorated and so well situated, I say, Lord, fill them up again. Bring the men back again so we can share the word of God with them. These men need the word of God. And so we try to faithfully share it with them each night. This was a Chinese sailor. And the port has given me a portable Wi-Fi unit. They're very generous. They know that the men are stuck on the ship. Not all ships have Wi-Fi accessibility. So they gave me a little portable one with no limitation on it and to allow the crew to access home in that. And I went on the, I don't really like using it, because if you want to get people not to listen to you, you know, give them Wi-Fi, you know, it's like your children. They're not going to, you know, they're not listening. They're stuck on their phone here. Well, the sailors are no different. But I had been talking, I'd tried to go on this Chinese ship. I wasn't getting anywhere with the people. And so, well, I got nothing to lose now. They're not listening to me now. I might as well bring this out and see if I can get some to come around, at least give them Gospels of John and other tracts. And so they did. And this is the mess man. And he started to, he could speak a bit of English, much better than my Chinese, but he was afraid to use it. And so he was talking, he was using the translator in his phone. And I gave him a Gospel of John in Chinese. And so he speaks into his phone and he shows me his response. And he writes back to me at one point, "I don't believe, but I will read this." Many people have said that. And what does the Holy Spirit do? It convicts them. And they've come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we want to do, is we want to bring the word of God to them. Not our words, but the word of God. And to share with them the wonderful news of salvation. One thing we've been doing to help them is bring them Burger King. Pizza, Burger King, sushi. They've been ordering it. We've been doing a lot of running around for them and using this as an opportunity to bless them and to bring the word of God to them. Our motto here is to serve the sailors in word and deed. To serve God by serving the sailors in word and deed. So these are some of the deeds that we do to bless them. And so they love the Burger King, and it's close by the center, and you get a nice big hamburger for $4, which is, you know, only three something in U.S. dollars. And so they're thrilled to get it, and they like the greasy hamburgers. I'm not doing anything for their health, but it does. They seem to enjoy it. These are these little voice players, and I see my time is really going here. These are voice players that we get from In Touch Ministries, Charles Stanley. And we have these in about 20 different languages. They're a wonderful tool. I would have to say I almost consider it, personally, a bit of a gimmick, because the sailors all have their phones. They could download the Bible if they really wanted it. But we have these in languages where Christianity is not the main religion. And we would have these in, many Indian languages, many Asian languages. And because you give them this neat little thing, they will listen to it. And we get reports back from these guys saying, yeah, I'm listening to it. And it's actually solar powered. On the right hand side, you can see it's a solar screen there. So it's really designed for places like, you know, out in the villages and that, where they wouldn't even have power, and that they can listen to the word of God. So it's typically in English and in a different language. And it's always the complete Bible and some of Charles Stanley's messages. And so they're being very well received. And I know some of you know this fellow here, Carl. He's showing a sailor there, the voice player. And I don't want to steal some of Carl's stories there, but he got a report back from one sailor who had been listening to this and said, he says, you know, I know I'm changing, because he says, I just got a contract. And he says, the first thing I said was, thank you, God. He says, I never did that before. So we praise the Lord for that. Another sailor here, I walked on board, and many would tell me, especially from the Philippines, because that's the largest percentage we would see, many would tell me they were Christians, and I say, God forbid, if you were to die today, where would you go? And they would say, you know, well, I don't know. That's the biggest answer. Some will tell me I'd go to heaven. I say, that's wonderful. Why would you go to heaven? Well, because I'm a good person. And that's why this fellow here told me that he'd go to heaven. I said, that's wonderful. Why would you go to heaven? Because I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You know, it's so great to hear someone that's very clear in their testimony. And I don't want to judge those that are not taught well and need teaching, but it is so encouraging. One cook we met, he didn't even spend that much time with us there, but he told us the exact day that he had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, well, where were you? Were you on board? Were you at home? He says, I was in Saudi Arabia. I was working in Saudi Arabia before I was a sailor, and I heard the gospel there. Of all places, Saudi Arabia, the place that's close to the gospel, close to the word of God, but others are there sharing the word. Yeah, foosball at our center, that makes everyone noisy, that's for sure. It's a very noisy game, which is what we like to see. We want to see the place noisy. Some nights it gets very quiet with everybody just on their phone, but we love to see them playing pool or ping pong or foosball. I'm sorry, the time is gone. I wanted to talk about the glory of God, and maybe I'll have to maybe have an opportunity another time to speak about the glory of God. And as I've been reading, maybe we'll just take a minute right now, if you don't mind here. We're going to read from John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And I was just reading through here on my daily readings. Verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Verse 14. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I got a little friendly critter up here. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Verse 34. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stink, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? I just want to say, as I was reading through this in my daily reading, I got to this verse here, and I stopped. What is the glory of God? What is the glory of God? And that's actually what I was intended to speak about this morning. What was the glory of God? And it's not an easy one to define. I can't say, well, it's just this. But as you start to read the Bible, we talk about glory. We talk about glorious. Glorify. And speaking about in glory, in Psalm chapter 73, it says, verse 24, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. A year and a half ago, we were called to the hospital. Family must come quick. Your mother's failing. She's taking a turn for the worse. So we all rushed in there. Well, my mother slowly improved throughout the day, and she said to my daughters, I'm not much longer for this earth. I'll soon be in glory. Folks, we're going to be in glory. We're going to be in glory. I mean, that's amazing. We're going to be with the Savior. You know, we talk about going to heaven, and we think heaven is like, well, I'll say maybe a nice Hawaiian beach or something, whatever you like. No. It's not about the place. It's about the person. We're going to be with the Lord of glory. As I've been thinking about it, and as I continually see the verses come up, and as the songs that we sing, we're talking about the Lord of glory. And we know what Psalm says. The heavens are telling the glory of God. I was just up at Chilliwack Lake there with a young people's camp. And there's no electricity there other than a generator. And there's no lights in the sky to take away from the night sky. And the sky is just filled with stars. I tell you, you just can't help but praise the Lord night and day. When you see the sunrise, when you see the sunset, when you see the stars, it's full. It's evidence of God's glory. Time is gone. I want to leave that with you. As you would read, look for that word, glory. We'll soon be in glory. We'll soon be with the Savior. Our eyes will be fixed on Him. Yesterday I spoke at a funeral from a dear sister from our assembly. We're not crying for her. I'm envious. I'm not crying for her family, but I'm envious. I know I will soon be in glory. What a wonderful hope we have. I deserve hell. I deserve the lake of fire. I deserve punishment, but I'll soon be in glory. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for the opportunities to share the wonderful news, the news that came to our ears from faithful men and women that brought the word of God to us. And may we do likewise. Lord, may our eyes be fixed on you. May we not be living for temporal things, but Lord, may we be living for eternal matters. May we set aside the things of this world and keep our eyes fixed upon you. And Lord, may we say, your will be done. And may we be used to bring glory to your name, the glory that you rightfully deserve, the glory that is yours. May we not take it in any way. Bless us, we pray. In our